From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Kuhlman. Iranian authorities have resumed a mass trial of more than 100 activists from the political opposition. Dale Gavlak reports from Amman, Jordan.
It's the second hearing of an extraordinary mass trial that started a week ago. Dozens of reform politicians and journalists are accused of rioting and plotting to overthrow the ruling Islamic system following the disputed re-election victory of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. A 23-year-old French academic arrested in July is among the defendants. Iran's former reform-minded president, Mohammad Khatami, has called the hearing a show trial and a sham. He said it would not cover up what he called the real crimes carried out by the authorities. Dozens were killed in the post-election unrest protesting Ahmadinejad's declared presidential victory. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Amman.
Following a 17-hour standoff, police in Indonesia have stormed a house in Jakarta where they say a militant leader is inside. Nurdin Mohammed Top is suspected of planning last month's suicide attacks on Jakarta hotels and of helping carry out other assaults. Top has claimed to be an al-Qaeda associate working in Southeast Asia. It is not clear if police have killed him, trapped him, or captured him. A jailed Yemeni cleric has pleaded guilty in New York City to raising money for the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The plea ends a long saga over a controversial figure. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports.
4 years ago, a Brooklyn jury convicted 60-year-old Sheikh Mohammed Ali Hassan Amayad of supporting terrorism. The FBI had him on videotape, trying to raise money for both Hamas and al-Qaeda. He had been sentenced to 75 years in prison. An appeals court threw out his conviction last year, saying inflammatory evidence shouldn't have been admitted during trial. Now Al-Mayad has agreed to plead guilty to raising money for Hamas in exchange for a sentence of time served. He's been in jail for 6 years. Prosecutors said in a letter to the court that they decided to accept a plea deal because the cleric has severe health problems. They also said that skipping a trial would spare the government time and expense. He will be deported back to Yemen. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is meeting South African President Joseph Zuma today in Durban. She's been urging South Africa to take the lead in boosting the economies of other African countries. She's also calling on South Africa to do more to push neighboring Zimbabwe with its authoritarian government toward more democratic reform. Musician Mike Seeger has died in Virginia. He was 75. Seeger was a performer, collector of music, and co-founder of the rural string band, the New Lost City Ramblers. Seeger was the brother of musician and political activist Pete Seeger. Funeral details have not been announced by his family. You're listening to NPR News. In a few hours, Judge Sonia Sotomayor will take the oath of office as the nation's newest Supreme Court justice. She'll be sworn in by Chief Justice John Roberts. Sotomayor was confirmed in the job by the Senate on Thursday. She'll begin work immediately reviewing briefs. The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear a case on campaign finance law in early September. No criminal charges will be filed against military contractor KBR in the electrocution death of a soldier. He died while showering in his barracks in Iraq. From Houston Public Radio, Ed Mayberry reports.
After an 11-month investigation, the Army says there is insufficient evidence to prove or disprove that anyone is criminally culpable in the January 2008 death of 24-year-old Staff Sergeant Brian Masseth from Pittsburgh. The Pentagon Inspector General says Masseth died while showering because of the failure of an ungrounded water pump installed by Houston-based KBR. The investigation revealed that contractors and employees were at fault, but none of those breaches were found to be the principal cause of his death. The Green Berets' death triggered widespread inspections and the review of 17 other electrocution deaths in Iraq. The inspections led to the correction of nearly 14,000 deficiencies in facilities in Iraq. For NPR News, I'm Ed Mayberry in Houston.
Federal regulators have closed two Florida banks. The First State Bank of Sarasota and the Community National Bank of Sarasota County have been closed. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation took the action, saying Stearns Bank of Minnesota has agreed to take over the deposits. The branches will all reopen by Monday. The FDIC has now taken over more than 70 banks this year that have been federally insured. I'm Korva Kuhlman, NPR News from Washington.